Today's story is called The Day the Crayons Came Home. It is by Drew DeWalt, who is one of my favorite picture book authors. And I've actually met him, not to brag, but... This is actually a companion book to one he wrote called The Day the Crayons Quit. It's about a little boy named Duncan and the adventures he has with his crayons. One day, Duncan and his crayons were happily coloring together when a strange stack of postcards arrived for him in the mail. So here we see a postcard that he's been sent. Dear Duncan, not sure if you remember me. My name is Maroon Crayon. You only colored with me once to draw a scab, but whatever. Anyway, you lost me 2 years ago in the couch. Then your dad sat on me and broke me in half. I never would have survived had Paperclip not nursed me back to health. I'm finally better, so come get me. And can Paperclip come too? He's really holding me together. Sincerely, your marooned crayon, Maroon Crayon. And here we have a picture of Maroon Crayon being held together by Paperclip. Now, this is a very long book, and so we are going to skip some of the postcards. But if you would like to read them on your own time, you can come visit me at the library, and I'll find this book for you. Hi, Duncan. It's me, Neon Red Crayon. Remember that great vacation we had with your family? Remember how we laughed when we drew a picture of your dad's sunburn? Remember dropping me by the hotel pool when you left? Clearly you do not, because I'm still here. How could you miss me? Anyway, after 8 months waiting for you to come get me, I guess I'm walking back. Your left behind friend, Neon Red Crayon. Hey, Duncan, if we could turn the lights off and have it dark in here, this page would glow in the dark, which is very cool. Hey, Duncan, remember last Halloween we told your little brother there was a ghost under the basement stairs? Then we drew that scary stuff on the wall? Sure was funny when he ran screaming, right? But it wasn't so funny when you forgot to take me out of the basement. Please come get me. I'm kind of terribly horrified. Your scared friend, glow-in-the-dark crayon. Dear Duncan, looks like I'm almost home. Been through China, Canada, and France, I think. Just crossing New Jersey by camel now. New Jersey has giant pyramids, right? See you soon, Neon Red Crayon. P.S. Next stop, the North Pole, I think. Hi, Duncan. You're probably wondering why my head is stuck to your sock. A question I ask myself every day. Well, it's because last week you left me in your pocket and I ended up in the dryer. I landed on your sock and now he's stuck to my head. Can you please come get me? Also, why does everything you wear still smell even after it's washed? Your stinky, socky, stucky on head buddy, Turquoise Crayon. P.S. Sock says hi. Duncan, greetings from the Amazon rainforest. He's not in the Amazon rainforest. Making great time. I think I'm almost home. Neon Red Crayon. Duncan was sad to learn of all the crayons he'd lost, forgotten, broken, or neglected over the years. So he ran around gathering them up. But Duncan's crayons were all so damaged and differently shaped than they used to be that they no longer fit in the crayon box. So Duncan had an idea. He built a place where each crayon would always feel at home. The end. Thanks for joining me for story time.
I couldn't help noticing there wasn't a single gentleman from our congregation willing to be a child. And there's that scripture that says, unless you become as a child. Just saying. I am reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The word of God for the people of God.
Pastor Wendy, I think we need a tag team preach sometime. We've got something to say. So do you remember life as a kid when you got that brand new crayon box? You opened up that Crayola set of 68, and the crayons are sharp and new, and then after a few months, they're broken and dull and really cast away. Well, we might think of as the lifespan of a crayon. And really, I like this book because they find a humorous way to communicate the things of life. The crayons experience rejection, we experience rejection. Experience loss of passion or purpose, the things that we experience. We know what it's like to be lost or to feel forgotten or excluded. And the mishaps that the crayons experience, this is the stuff of life. Maybe we go through a transition in life and things aren't what they used to be. In our career or our home, sometimes our identity is tied to a specific area of our lives. We retire and we don't know what to do. We decide to stay home with our kids, or we decide to go back to work. We graduate and we get a job that's not even close to what we studied in college. Maybe we work so hard, we feel like we're just spinning our wheels. You know, life has a way of knocking us down. Or maybe there are other moments where we feel so unworthy of God. We think things like, God has a big enough job keeping the world in motion. He doesn't care about my minor struggles or disappointments. Or why would God want me with all that I've done? We wrestle with our value before a loving God who in all of our wayward journeys welcomes us home. There's another place in Matthew where Jesus is teaching to his disciples in the crowd. And he says to them, Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And Jesus offers this invitation, Come and I will give you rest. Whatever mishaps life has offered to you, I welcome you to rest. You know, the crayons wanted a break. They wanted to come home because home for many of us is a place that we belong. It's a place of rest, a place of safety. I hope that this congregation is a place of rest and safety for you. And what I love about this book is that when they came home, home was not an invitation to life as it used to be in the Crayola box. Home was a place that fit all of their quirks, their losses, and pain. Eugene Peterson, when he's paraphrasing the text that we heard from Wendy, he says it like this. He says, Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn from the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What an invitation from God. what it should feel like to come home. That's what it should feel like when our spiritual rhythms are in tune with God. Last Saturday night, I visited the ministry Lifeline Toledo. And this is a nonprofit ministry led by Steve North, one of our United Methodist pastors. He works in a poor area in Toledo, and about a decade ago, he had a vision to reach the disenfranchised and those in the outskirts of society in Toledo. And each week, Lifeline provides a mobile medical clinic. They have poverty immersion experiences for high school students, church services, and once a month, this community dinner. So I took Sarah Jurgen with me, who worships at the 9 a.m. service, and we went to this community dinner, and it's at Steve's home in the Old West End. It begins at 5:30, ends at about 2:30 a.m., really, and on this night, there were over 200 people in and out of Steve's home, and the menu is absolutely extensive, and it's free. It's this giant potluck in his home. And what's most interesting is the group that's there. And unapologetically, Steve spends a lot of time with those experiencing homelessness, with those who refer to themselves as squatters, with families trying to get out of poverty. But when you walk into his home, none of that matters. You feel like family. You'll sit down to a meal and you'll sit beside professors, realtors, next to those who are experiencing a homelessness, next to someone else who owns 3 companies. And you would never know that about one another because those things don't matter. Everyone was welcome and made to feel like they were at home. And at the end of the evening, they have an open mic time where people are invited to share in poetry, music, song, how they've been experiencing God in their lives. It was so powerful, and I felt like I was getting this glimpse of the kingdom of God, where the broken, where the knocked down, where the different paths of life come together, and we're bound by our common humanity. There was a place for everyone. It didn't matter how much was in your bank account, but what mattered was you, and everyone had a seat at the table. And if this isn't the gospel, then I don't know what is. And it was so refreshing. And I was reminded that this is the beautiful partnership that God invites us into, that when we model those kingdom values of peace and kindness and justice, the invitation to belong, to be a part of and participate in how God is renewing one another and all of creation. It reminded me of some of the study I was doing a few weeks ago in preparation for this series, when Robert Fulghum says, we can learn a lot from crayons. Some are sharp, some are pretty, some are dull, while others are bright. Some have weird names, but they have all learned to live together in the same box. And I think that's what it's like to model the kingdom of God. But this is the stuff of life. We can become really good at identifying with certain tribes, political groups, civic groups, nonprofits, sports, anything. And that's okay. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, I have to remember that even my worst enemy is invited to have a seat at the table, that they are invited home. It's this idea throughout Scripture that whosoever will, for God so loved the world, just as I am without one plea, come all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And at the end of this book, the broken were invited, the lost, the forgotten, the neglected. And there was a home for all of their imperfections. There was a home for the wounds that life had caused them. And wouldn't it be great if as the church we recognize the lost and neglected in our world, and invited them into community, invited them home. If we recognized the brokenness in one another and offered that safe space. And that's what I love about these children's books. They're so simple. God is love. God invites us home. God invites us to rest. Philip Yancey says, God welcomes home anyone who will have him, and in fact, has already made the first move. The children's book, they echo the words of Jesus. Everyone is welcome. Everything is welcome. Your quirks, your talents, your personalities, your failures, your flaws. God even welcomes our sin. If we're someone who's been at church every Sunday since the day we were born, we have a seat at the table. If we're someone who grew up in church but we left for a while and we're just trying to figure out if this God thing is legit, we're invited to the table. If we've made bad decisions or we're burnt out on life or been fired from our job or we're struggling with addiction, whatever's on your list, God invites you to have a seat at the table. And not only is there room for you at God's table, but we are missing out if you aren't at the party. You know, the Koreans, they were on this journey, some of them back home. And in my life, I encounter lots of people on their journey who need to hear that God invites them to rest. That God invites them to take a break and rest in God. When I ask people, how are you? The response is no longer, good, how are you? The response is, I'm busy, how are you? We have a lot going on in our family. How are you? More and more people in my life, and I'd beg to guess probably in your life, need to hear that God welcomes us into rest. That God welcomes us home. They need to hear these echoes of Matthew 11. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Then walk with me and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's what God offers us. Home, a place of rest. The question for us is, will we accept that grace? Would you pray with me? God, we're so grateful that you have given to us grace upon grace upon grace. And God, we readily confess that our world is often loud and chaotic. God, we confess that many of us are busy. So God, by your gentle spirit, would you invite us to rest? God, in all of our wayward journeys, would you invite us to come? So that we might bring our whole self to you, so that you can carry our burdens, and so that you can teach us how to live freely and lightly. God, so that we would be your people who would live within these rhythms of abundant life and abundant grace that you so freely offer to all of us. And God, for all of this, all of your grace, all of your love, we give you thanks. Amen.